On July 3rd, 1994, I stood before an altar with my soon-to-be wife, Rachel. We exchanged some rings. I said my vows. She said hers. We were pronounced husband and wife. It was a day of rejoicing. And every day since, my life has been different. In a good way, way different. Something happened and everything changed. Well, on December 21st, 1996, Rachel was at the hospital and our firstborn, Natalie, came into our lives. I remember holding her in her swaddling clothes. I was singing Christmas carols to her. My life sure changed that day. She was tortured by my Christmas carols, but it was a day of rejoicing. It was a day of rejoicing. And ever since then, our lives have changed, Rachel and I. Especially when you have children, everything changes, you know? As a father, you feel this weight of responsibility with that first child is born. Some days something happens and everything changes. Well, our reading from Isaiah that Charlie read earlier, from Isaiah 35, gets at this reality. In a way, Isaiah says, when God comes to save, everything changes. He gives you three examples. He says, first of all, creation changes. Isaiah talks about the land. It's barren. It's a wilderness. It's a desert. The land is inhospitable. It is dangerous. It's a place where things don't grow. Everything's brown and ugly. But when God comes to save, creation will change. It will be luxurious and green, like Mount Carmel or the plains of Sharon. It's like a carpet of flowers. I imagine it'll be that way when winter turns to spring, you know? And you remember that day, there's always one day in the spring where it seems like all of a sudden, the leaves have come out and everything is bright and green again. You feel uplifted. You feel excited. You feel joyful. That's the way Isaiah pictures it when God comes to save creation. It's a day of rejoicing. Well, secondly, Isaiah gets a little personal. He talks about people who have weak hands or feeble knees or anxious hearts. Sounds like us sometimes. People who are dismayed or disheartened or depressed or despaired. Others are blind or deaf. Some can't speak or they're lame. But the day when God comes to save, the weak become strong. The blind are able to see. The deaf can hear. The mute can speak. The disheartened become courageous. People see and hear and shout for joy all over again. Maybe it reminds you of one of those medical stories where, due to the wonders of modern medicine, maybe a baby who has never heard her mother's voice hears for the first time. It's a miracle. Imagine the smile on that child's face. Imagine the smile on her mother's face. It's a day of joy. When God comes to save, it's like that. And third, Isaiah talks about a highway. Back in those days, the roads were more like a trail through the woods, because they didn't have woods, trail through the desert, not like a highway like I-90 we have today. The trails or the roads were dangerous. Wild animals could attack you at any time. And there were thieves and robbers. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan? He was lying there because he had been attacked by thieves and robbers. Well, the day that God comes to change everything, when He comes to save, everything's different. The trail becomes a highway, He says, a highway of holiness for the redeemed to travel on in safety. Highway of holiness. And He says, those who have been ransomed don't have to fear anymore. You're going to arrive at your destination safe and secure. And we're going to arrive there together. We don't travel this highway alone. We travel it together. And instead of fear and danger, it's going to be rejoicing together with exuberant praise. Isaiah simply says that when God comes to save, everything changes. And joy will fill the land and people's lives. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, sometimes it doesn't feel like that. Sometimes when we're traveling down that highway, it feels like we're getting stomped on. Or we're doing the stomping on somebody else. My grandfather, I don't know, when you're in school at some point, like 8th grade or 9th grade or 10th grade, you're supposed to go, like we were supposed to go interview our grandparents. I think it was for a history class. So I interviewed my grandpa and my grandma. My grandpa told this story about what it was like when he was a little kid my age or younger, actually. And he said, so this is about 100 years ago. Picture this. He said, we used to go catch birds, you know, sneak up behind them and catch them. I could never figure out how he did that. And the other thing he said is, the thing that was so much fun, the thing that you got joy from was if you got a new pair of shoes. And this is like, I don't know, 1920 or something? Earlier than that, 100 years ago. He said, you get a new pair of shoes, and they had these points at the end, okay? And they were all shiny and stuff. And you'd stand there on the corner with your new shoes, you know, and with the points on them. I don't know what they looked like, but he said they were pointed. And he said, the first thing that all of my friends did, guess what? They would come by, and they would stomp on the points. It would stomp on the points. And he said, it hurt because your toes are under there. That's the way we feel like sometimes. As we go through this life that we struggle through, this trail, it's not a highway. It's not a highway of holiness. It doesn't feel like it, does it? You who are redeemed and ransomed by the blood of Christ, does it feel like it? Sometimes it feels like you're the guy there whose toes are getting stomped. Your pointed shoes, your beloved pointed shoes, whatever it is for you, are getting trampled on. We do that with just thoughtlessness. I mean, we trample on each other sometimes we don't even know it. It's bad enough when we do it on purpose. We do it way worse than on little kids' shoes, which hurts. And sometimes we're the ones doing that trampling. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I can say this to all of you, because you're human. You've been trampled on. And you've done some trampling too. But when God comes to save, everything changes. When does God come to save? When does God come to save? I want you to picture a manger in a stable in Bethlehem. No doubt, back in the time of Caesar Augustus, you'd find plenty of mangers in that shepherd town. Just picture one. Simple, ordinary feeding trough. But one evening, a child is born, and everything changes. His name is Jesus. Yeshua in Hebrew, which means He saves. He comes to save. And on that day, in that manger, which is just an ordinary stable, everything changes because Jesus is born in it. Emmanuel, God is with us to change us. He comes to change you so that you no longer are trampled on and so that you no longer do the trampling. You are changed. And Jesus grows up. He has an earthly ministry. And what does He do when He comes into someone's life? He heals someone. That when a person who's been born blind can see for the first time. Imagine that day. He says, I was born blind and now I can see. Do you think that would have been a little bit joyful? You think that was a day of rejoicing for him? He meets a mother whose son has just died. And they're carrying him out to be buried. And he holds up the procession and raises him from the dead. Do you think there was joy that day? But he came to save and everything changed for their life? Absolutely. Or let's take Matthew. Our reading was from Matthew today, a tax collector. Matthew is a tax collector and he's hated by everybody. He's done the trampling and he's getting trampled back. Everybody hates him because he cheats them. He takes their money and he takes more than even the government requires and puts it in his own pocket. There's another tax collector, Zacchaeus. And when Jesus comes into their lives change. Matthew stops being a tax collector and he follows Jesus. His life changed dramatically. Way more than mine did when I got married. Zacchaeus climbs a tree because he's so short, because he wants to see Jesus. And he sees Jesus. And Jesus says, today I'm coming to your house to change your life. Salvation is coming to you today. It's coming to your house today. And everything's going to be different. And Zacchaeus is changed. When God comes to change, everything changes when He saves us. And Zacchaeus goes out and gives back money, more than even that he had cheated people out of. That's how changed he was. You see what happens when God comes to save through Jesus. Everything changes. And when his earthly ministry came to an end, Jesus comes to save in not just an ordinary place, but the most gruesome of places, a cross. A cross back then was an instrument of death. We have crosses in our churches. We have crosses that we wear sometimes as jewelry. A cross back then was a piece of wood, which was dear. Wood big enough to hang a man on was not easy to find there. So they reused it. And it stunk of dried blood and rotting flesh. And it stunk of agony. The cross was a horrific place to die. But now look what we do with a cross. Because that cross changed everything for you and me. We who trample and we who have been trampled upon. Instead of judgment and hell and death, He gives us through that cross forgiveness, life, and salvation. If you want change, go to a graveyard. You'll see some crosses. In those days, when a tomb was closed, it was closed and the body stayed put. But not with Jesus. When Jesus entered the tomb, the thing that so many of you and me often fear, the ultimate trampling. When Jesus entered that tomb, everything changed. Because He came out. Which means you will too. I remember another day. I remember the day that our daughter, Laura, was baptized. She'd been born with a birth defect that made it almost impossible for her to nurse. It also affected her hearing, and we were worried for her. Yet an ordinary human hand dipped water, put it on her head, and an ordinary human voice said, "In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit," and she was baptized. And everything changed. Forgiveness, life, and salvation. That is what is yours now in your baptism because of Jesus. That is why this is a day for rejoicing in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.